grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Our hearts, Lord God, to prepare the way of your only Son. By his coming, nurture our growth as people of repentance and peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated.
A reading from Isaiah. A shoot shall come out from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt around his waist, and faithfulness the belt around his loins. The wolf shall live with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put its hand on the adder's den. They will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain. For the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. On that day, the root of Jesse shall stand as a signal to the peoples. The nations shall inquire of him, and his dwelling shall be glorious. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray Psalm 72 responsively. Give the king your justice, O God, and your righteousness to the king's son, that he may roar with justice, that the mountains may bring prosperity to the people and the hills in righteousness. Let him defend the needy among the people, rescue the poor and crush the oppressor. May he live as long as the sun and the moon endure, from one generation to another. Let him come down like rain upon the mown field, like the showers that water the earth. In his time may the righteous flourish, and let there be an abundance of peace till the moon shall be no more. Blessed are you, O God, God of Israel, you alone do righteous deeds. And blessed be your glorious name forever. May all the earth be filled with your glory. Amen, amen. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. A reading from Romans. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, so that by steadfastness and by the encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope. May the God of steadfastness and encouragement grant you to live in harmony with one another in accordance with Christ Jesus, so that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome one another, therefore, just as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the circumcised on behalf of the truth of God, in order that he might confirm the promises given to the patriarchs, and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore I will confess you among the Gentiles and sing praises to your name. And again he says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples praise him. And again Isaiah says, the root of Jesse shall come, the one who rises to rule the Gentiles. In him the Gentiles shall hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Word of God, word of life.
According to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." Now John wore clothing of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then the people of Jerusalem and all Judea were going out to him, and all the region along the Jordan, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now, the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and will gather his wheat into the granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." The Gospel of the Lord. A priest and a pastor were standing at the road, pounding a sign into the ground. The sign said, "The end is near. Turn yourself around before it's too late." A car sped past them, and the driver shouts out the window, "Get out of our way, you religious nuts." And they heard the screeching of tires and the splash. And the priest turned to the pastor and says, "You suppose we should have just made the sign say, 'Bridge out'? The sign should say, 'Repent.'" Or as my GPS says to me, "Recalculating." "Make a U-turn as soon as possible." Advent is the season, and John is the proclaimer of recalculating, of going in a new direction, of repenting. Often we think of repenting as admitting our wrong, confessing our sin. But in the true Advent sense of repenting, the Greek word is metanoia. You may have heard that word used in other ways. Metanoia. It means to turn yourself around, to have a change of heart. And this is what John was talking about on the riverbank. He is sounding the warning cry. He's pointing to the one who will come after him. This strange man in the wilderness, calling for a transformation of life, is turning the lives of the people upside down. All the people of Jerusalem and Judea were going out to him, and all the region along the Jordan, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan. In first century Palestine, John the Baptist was the one who prepared the way for Christ by crying out for metanoia, for repentance, making the path straight and smooth. But his voice and his message are for us today as well. We are the stones that have become the children of Abraham. We are also invited to have a conversion of hearts and lives. Well, invited is a little too polite of a word for John the Baptist. I think John would like us to cross out our motto that says, all are welcome. And John would write rather, you brood of vipers, who told you to come? Whether insulted or invited, the people followed John. They listened to his message, and they went to the waters of baptism, waters of truth and repentance, waters of acceptance and empowerment. John's message in first century Palestine and in 21st century San Diego is a cry for metanoia, a cry for changed lives, a cry for going in a new direction. Baptized We Live is the name of a book by Daniel Erlander that I have referred to quite often. In that little book, I just gave you a copy of that, he describes baptism like this. Through the water of baptism, God touches a weak and vulnerable part of his creation and says, yes. In baptism, you are incorporated into Christ and into his body, the church. You are initiated, adopted into God's covenant people. You are called, chosen, saved, born again. You are forgiven. And you are free to live without excuses. You are marked with the cross of Christ forever. Baptism makes a claim upon our lives. Coming in water, God washed us, grafted us into Christ, and our identity is set for all the days of our life. Jesus' story becomes our story. Baptized into his death, we are raised to life as Christ's body in the world today. We say God's work, our hands. We are the hands of Christ in the world today. We are the body of Christ in the world today. Yesterday, when I got to this very point in my sermon writing, the heavens opened up and just poured rain. I have never seen rain come so fast and so furious in San Diego. Quite a surprise, especially to the crowd of folks who were standing across the street on the cliffs, getting soaked. Drenched, these people who had just simply gone out to walk their dog. I wanted to open my window and shout out to them, remember your baptism, walk wet with Christ. That's what baptismal life should look like, drenched and dripping with the truth of our identity as the body of Christ in the world. Walking wet. The preschool children have the practice of when they come into the sanctuary for their chapel time, they come past the font and they put, we practice, one finger into the font and then they mark themselves with the cross. Or as the two-year-olds say, I made a T. And the teachers say as they do that, remember your baptism. Sometimes they say, God loves you. Remember, you belong to God. So they mark themselves remembering the water of baptism. That would be a good practice for all of us. To remember our baptism by touching the water. We turn and face that font as we begin our service. But to remember, that's why we're here. That's how we're here. That we belong to God. Belong to God. There's a sign in Dante's Inferno, a sign over the entrance into hell that says, "Abandon hope, all you enter here." For Dante, hell is to give up hope. But we who are grafted onto the root of Jesse, who are the baptized, are the people of hope, we take hope in these words of St. Paul that we heard this morning. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. The biblical word hope means to trust that God's future is for us. To realize that God has us in his embrace. Hope is remembering our baptism and knowing that God will not abandon us now or ever. And living in that hope, we have the strength and the encouragement necessary to make the U-turns, to change direction, to repent, to walk wet with the Lord. Advent is a time for us to put things into perspective, a time to use our energy and our resources for those things that matter most. Repentance isn't about saying I'm sorry or feeling bad about things that we have done. Repentance is rather a reorientation, a change of perspective, a change of direction, a new way of thinking. It's a commitment to metanoia, to turn and to live differently. Not just saying I'm sorry, but changing the way you think so that you can live in a new direction. Isaiah painted a picture for us of a peaceable kingdom, of what life lived differently might look like. The wolf shall live with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. And our children, living in a peaceable kingdom, sharing with brother, with sister, with grandparent, with mother, with animals that live with you as well. A peaceable kingdom. What do we need to do in order to have that peaceable kingdom in our hearts, in our homes? Well, I figure if the lion and the lamb can live together in a peaceable kingdom, I should be able to get along with my brother-in-law a little bit better. Or maybe your neighbor or your coworker. How about in your life? What's metanoia? What repenting? What changing direction needs to happen in your life, in your house, in order to have that peaceable kingdom? What things do we need to do differently to go in a new direction in order to straighten out and smooth out the pathway, to prepare the way in order to live in that peaceable kingdom? One example, in Luther's Small Catechism, he ends the explanation for the eighth commandment with this sentence: "We are to come to the other's defense, speak well of them, and interpret everything they do in the best possible light. Wouldn't that be a peaceable kingdom? Wouldn't that be something if we put that spin on everything that comes our way? What someone says to you on the street, what someone says to you in an email, what someone gives you something, that you come to the other's defense, that you speak well of them, and that you interpret everything they say and do in the best possible light. Wouldn't that be a peaceable kingdom? Advent is the season of repentance, of hope, of a time to be reminded of God's promises for us, his beloved children. This is the season of making the pathway straight, of removing the barriers that keep us from that peaceable kingdom. This is the season of interpreting everything they do in the best possible light. Advent living might mean that we have to recalculate, but never forget this truth. You have been marked with the cross of Christ forever. You are held in God's embrace, and God will not let you go. Not now, not ever. Remember your baptism. Amen. Yeah.